Okay. This morning we want to turn to the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's working. And I want to ask you a question this morning. What does church look like? We're going to be continuing in talking about the Holy Spirit for the next few weeks still. This is what the Lord has put on my heart for us. And so as we talk about this morning, because the Holy Spirit is integral to the church, to the building of the church, to the growing of the church, to the empowering of the church, to the design of the church, what does church look like? You could answer that question in any number of ways. You all know I'm from the U.S., so I have been to churches in the U.S. I know this is hard for us to believe in Hong Kong with our space limitations. I've been to churches that have big coffee shops and lunch restaurants in them. I've been to churches that have gyms and indoor tracks as part of the church complex, along with other things. It's a little hard to imagine, right? So sometimes church looks like that. But church looks like other things as well. COVID has certainly changed what church looks like, right? 30%. Stephen and I were up on the fourth floor just a little bit ago, and I said, I am ready for one service, and Stephen's, I am too. We're ready for one service again. And I'll be really honest with you. Praise the Lord for tech, but I am sick of online. I really am. I'm ready for in person. We're going to talk about this next week. Don't get upset, but we're going to talk about it next week. I think the Holy Spirit says something about online church. Did you know that? In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit says something about online church. We'll look at it next week. But COVID certainly has changed the way we have church together. So my question is, as we consider what church is like, I don't just mean these outside things with all of us wearing masks and distancing and elbow bumping. We can't even fist bump, can we? Not even supposed to fist bump. Elbow bumping, which just seems so weird, doesn't it? It seems fake. Don't you think so? Don't you feel fake when you elbow bump another Christian? Don't you? I do. I do it, but I still feel fake. Anyhow, so when we think about these things, we have our ideas. What is church like? What should church be like? And what I want us to look at and our thoughts to go towards this morning is, as we think about our experiences and our expectations, I want us to think about the one who built the church, who built the first church, and who is still building churches today. And that's the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, I will build, this is in Matthew, I think. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is true. Jesus said, I will build my church. But we know also that Jesus said, I'm going away, I'm sending someone else, and Jesus took the responsibility. Jesus took the leadership, the equipping, the empowering, the direction, and the design of the church, and passed it into the hands of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit has a plan for churches also. I wonder what church is like. Let's look at some things. We know what we think church looks like, but I wonder if we include that picture. Do you know where this is? This is the top of a mountain in Leon with Pastor Julia. This is one of their outreach churches. This is Kabungaan, okay? And this church is now about 10 years old. And if you look carefully, you'll see that it's made with, is it NEPA or whatever? I don't know what you want to call it or whatever that is, this lattice work. But if you look carefully at the floor, at the ground, what do you see? It's packed dirt, isn't it? It's not a pretty red tile. It's packed dirt. And I've been in many churches in the Philippines that are like that as well, with simple wooden stools. Or maybe church looks like this. It's a small wooden, not that small. It's a simple wooden structure without any glass, but plenty of ventilation. And this is the church in with Pastor Vivian with the Aetas tribe as well. So up there on top of the mountain. Or how about this church? This is a church that's outside because they don't have a building and they can't meet in the home. And it is out under one of the big fruit trees in the backyard. And that's Pastor Edith. She is right now clearing land. She's cutting down mango trees. Mango trees, I tell you, to build a church. It's worth it, isn't it? It's better to have spiritual fruit. It's hard, isn't it? Can't we have mango trees and spiritual fruit? But she is, it's her land, that's her family land that has been apportioned to her, and she is choosing to give it to the Lord for the Lord's work, for the Lord's church, for the Lord's building, and cutting down those beautiful mango trees so that a church might be built. That's Pastor Edith. And the not no tech, but very low tech. Look at the beautiful easy worship that she has. It's these big sheets. I don't even know what type of paper that's called, but it's very, very rough. And the song sheets, the songs are written on these sheets, and then they're stuck up on wires against the side of the wall. But you know what? That's church too. It's air con, it's outside air con. And all of these are pictures of church. This is the church that the Holy Spirit is building. And there are different cultures, there are different places, there are different experiences, but what the Holy Spirit builds should be the same in spirit wherever He builds His church. He has the same blueprint for everyone. So we're going to look at this together this morning for just a little while. This is going to be a two-part message. As I found in the first service this morning, we're just going to go until we have to stop, and then we're going to stop, and then we'll pick it up again next week. And I want to ask you something. As this church began, they were all Christians. The church attendance was 120 total, as far as we know, because the Bible tells us they were all meeting together. That's how many were there on the day of Pentecost. And we read in Acts 1:14, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. And I want you to think with me about this. Jesus had said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." But then He had said, "Wait until you receive the gift from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, not many days from now, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses." But you know what? They didn't know what that was, did they? They heard the words of Jesus. They knew what He was telling them to do, but they didn't know what it meant. All they had were the words of Jesus, and all they knew was Jesus is making us into something. He has given us work to do, but how do we do it? They couldn't do it. They didn't know. They didn't have an expectation. They didn't have an outline. They didn't have a blueprint. All they had were the words of Jesus, and they had one other thing, a commitment to pray. And so they met, and they began to pray. Here's great advice for us, brothers and sisters. When you feel that the Lord has put something in your heart, or you have a desire in your heart, but you don't know how to get there, or you don't know what to do, God, what is next? The best thing you can do is pray. Please don't just leave it all in God's hands and say, "Well, God's going to do what God's going to do." We do that sometimes, don't we? It's an easy out for us as Christians. Do you know that we don't see that pattern in the Bible? We don't. It's not in the Bible. There is an active participation with the people of God and the Spirit of God. And they waited on the Lord and they prayed. And then what happened? So what we're going to be talking about this morning is the church the Holy Spirit built. Amen? And we're going to look at this. But as you know, I'm never interested in only a history lesson. What will this teach us and what will this show us about we ourselves? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't change His plan. His blueprint remains the same. So the Feast of Pentecost arrives. The promise is fulfilled. The gift is given. The waiting is over. The prayers are answered as the Holy Spirit is poured out. Jesus had told His disciples, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." If the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God and the people of God, what kind of church must we be? What kind of people must we be? If we feel that we are being overwhelmed and overcome right now, I want to encourage you that Jesus has an answer for you today. Jesus has a plan for you today. Jesus has a roadmap for this church, and it's all tied around the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, everything that we are facing. And so what will we do? They pray and they wait. And then the Holy Spirit is poured out and Peter knows what to do. As soon as the Holy Spirit is poured out, and they begin to say, what does this mean? We talked about this last week, the two questions, and what should we do? Peter gets up and he starts preaching. This is what he's to do. And I want you to see something with me as we look at this, as we begin to look at some of these verses. We're going to be almost completely in Acts chapter 2 in these verses that are very familiar to us. And I want to bring an encouragement to you this morning. Some of you are praying for people, and you've been praying for a long time, and their hearts are super hard, right? And they don't want to hear you, and they think that you are full of foolishness, and they are thinking, how could you believe something like this? And I want to point your attention to the crowd that the Holy Spirit targeted on the Feast of Pentecost. That was a tough crowd. You think you're praying for a tough crowd? You think you're praying for a tough family? This was the crowd that said, crucify him. This was the crowd that said, Jesus is not the Messiah. This is a crowd that was perfectly content with what they believed and what they did. They absolutely thought, I am right, you are wrong. Yeah? Some of you are talking to people like that, right? Some of you are trying to witness to people like that. I want to encourage you this morning with what the Holy Spirit does on the day of Pentecost. He fills his people Jesus fills his people with the Holy Spirit. They are empowered. They are equipped. Peter stands up to preach, and this tough crowd, the response is what? Peter's words pierced their heart. They were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what must we do? We talked about this last week, but what I want you to see from a different perspective this morning is this. When the Holy Spirit started working, there was no longer mockery. When the Holy Spirit started working, there was no longer self-righteousness. Oh, boy, self-righteousness is a tough one, right? I'm good enough. I'm a good person. There was no longer that. When the Holy Spirit started working, there was an understanding and an acknowledgement of their need and of their sin. And this is what the Holy Spirit does when he comes. This is what Jesus said he would do. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And this is the Holy Spirit's work. You will convict no one of their sin. You will convict no one of their need for righteousness. You will convict no one that judgment is coming one day on the life that they have chosen apart from God. You cannot do that. You just make them mad. But the Holy Spirit can do it. And so what do we see here? Jesus and the Father answer and fulfill the promise. They fill their people with the Holy Spirit, and now God's people can begin to do what Jesus has said they must do. They're filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does his work. And Peter, we looked at this last week, tells them, repent, be baptized, each of you in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Is Peter suddenly changing what Jesus said 10 days earlier? Be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? No. But Jesus is emphasizing to this crowd, the one that you rejected, the only one who can save you, you've got to accept him. And that's what they did. This should answer those of you that sometimes talk with people who say, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus only. But this is what Peter was doing at this point. Of course, it was in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be baptized, each of you. And then, what does he say next? And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. I want to pause here just a minute. As I was preparing yesterday, I felt that in this service, I needed to emphasize this one. We didn't do this in the first service. I want us to see something. These people that were listening and these people that responded, as we see that 3,000 did. We've talked about this before. But what I want us to see is this. When the Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit began to convict, He made a difference in what their understanding was. He made a difference in their lives. They couldn't just come alongside. They couldn't just float along. They couldn't just say, well, this is a nice teaching, but I'm going to continue to live the way that I'm living. I like you and it's good for you, but me, I'm going to kind of go on the way I'm going. What Peter said under the inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was this: the way that you are going, the life that you are part of, if it's apart from Jesus, it is what? A crooked generation. He wasn't trying to say bad things about a bunch of people. He was just stating what was true. And the crooked generation, your translation might say perverse, or it might say something else, but what it means is, it is something that is bent that cannot be straightened. It is something that is crooked that cannot be made straight. And for some of us, and for whether you're listening this morning or you're here, what I want to say to you is this: there's an avenue of escape. There's a way of salvation. But if the way we are going is not the way of Jesus this morning, it's a crooked generation. There's no salvation. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart that now is the time. Now is the time to make a decision. Now is the time to make a choice. You see, this group of people thought they were absolutely okay. They thought they were absolutely right. And the Holy Spirit, speaking through Peter, says, the way that you're going, it's a crooked generation. It cannot be made right. It cannot help you. It cannot give you hope. It cannot give you a future. There is no life at the end of this road. And Peter gives them the option. And Peter stresses, this is what you have to do. So what do the people do? So those who accepted his message were baptized. What does that tell us? They all heard, but not everybody accepted, right? So they had an option and they had a choice. So those who accepted his message were baptized. Why were they baptized? It's the first step of obedience. It's the first step of obedience. May I say something to you this morning? You've heard me say this before, and you may think I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to say it again anyhow. If you have not yet been baptized as a believer, I'm not talking about a baptism that your parents decided for you. There's a reason for that in some churches, but the Bible pattern shows us that people made a choice with their hearts to follow Jesus, and then they made a step of obedience to be baptized in water. That was a choice from a person whose heart had been changed. If you have not yet been baptized in water, you need to be baptized in water, and we will baptize you as you obey the Lord. As I said last week, we got a swimming pool ready. Amen? We got a swimming pool ready. They didn't have a swimming pool then. What did they do? We read how many were baptized. It says how many were added, but it would have been baptized also. How many? 3,000. Okay, let me share some encouraging things with you this morning. Take a look at this. Isn't that beautiful? You think I pulled that off of Google Images, don't you? You think I got that from YouTube somewhere, a nice-looking picture. I did not. A week ago, early on a Saturday morning, as I was preparing, Pastor Amor sent me this picture. And she said, Pastor Jennifer, we've just had a water baptism. Oh, for those of you that don't know where Pastor Amor is, she's in Daet, Camarines Norte, sort of central Philippines. And they were baptizing not 3,000, but one. May I say to you, if we have only one, we are happy to baptize you. I'm happy to jump in a pool for one person. Amen. Amen. This was just one person. It was a young teenager. Her church is full of teenagers. A young teenager who had a terrible family life. Stepfather that was abusive to the family. I think maybe drunkard as well. And anyhow, very abusive. He'd kicked them out of the house. The boy was living on his own, sort of taking care of himself. And the young people in the church began to show attention to him and love to him and brought him to the church. And so he came to the church, and there in the church, his heart was touched by love, and he received the love of Jesus, and he became a Christian. And then after praying fervently for his stepdad, he was reconciled to his stepdad, and he came back into the home. And then another door opened for him to go to Manila to do some further study. And so this young man wanted to be baptized in water before he went, because this was the place where he had been, where he'd become a Christian. So this beautiful picture right here is somewhere around Daet last Saturday morning at about 5:30 in the morning. They had to be careful because, of course, there are COVID restrictions. And so they got up super early. Who knows that? Who knew that it's that bright that early in the morning in the Philippines and areas? But it was. And Pastor Amor, along with the group of the young people, went and they baptized this young man. For those of you who are wondering who the pastor of this great church is, it's that little small woman right there. Her name is Amor. How appropriate. Love. Amen. Amen. And then here's the young man who was baptized in water. The young man on the side in the yellow shirt is RJ. He's one of the faithful young men of the church. Oh, just a beautiful spirit, a beautiful spirit. And they baptized this young man, one young man. And the heavens rejoiced, whether it was one or 3,000. Amen. But that's not the only one. There's another one as well, more than one. And this was about 2 weeks ago, and this was all the way in the north where Pastor Vivian is. And this was with the Atas, and she baptized 18. As I told the first group, I've never seen somebody baptized helping with baptism wearing a hoodie before, but I think maybe it was to protect against the sun. Those of us who have been there before know what it's like. This looks like not very much, but the wind is super strong. It's right up on the northern tip, super strong, and the waves are almost as strong. One of the baptisms some years ago, and Pastor Renee was there, it's funny now. I don't think it was funny at the time. They went way out because they wanted to get in deep enough water. So usually when you baptize, water is about this deep, right? You get kind of like that. And so they started going out. And so they were saying, Pastor Renee, too far, too far. He said, no. Too far, too far. So he went out about this, and they almost lost some people. They had to get human chains. And so they came back to where it was about this deep. So as you can see, that's how they're baptizing right there because the waves were really, really strong. And so 2 weeks or so ago, Pastor Vivian baptized 18 young people. They have some new outreaches there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is one of the early steps of our Christian lives. But I want to share one more with you as well. Sister Pat Liu, who was part of the church for many years, and some of you know her, last year sent me this, and she said, Jennifer, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. I'm praising the Lord. There has been a revival in Thailand, not from the outside, but a local indigenous group that, take a look at this, not made up, but a revival that has begun in 2019 in Thailand by local groups and house groups just started growing from this one to this one to this one. No big outside missionary, no big outside pastor coming in, but the work of the Holy Spirit building his church. Here is the church that the Holy Spirit is building in Thailand. And last year, September 2020, 1,435 people were baptized. This must be a drone view. 20 pastors, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? 20 pastors wearing blue went out into the water and then they lined up. I don't think this was even all of them, but they counted them. 1,435. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here's one of them. Here's one of them, converted from Buddhism. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's getting ready to be baptized. Amen. Isn't that encouraging? Praise the Lord for that. And on that day, when the Holy Spirit began building the church, how many were baptized? 3,000. What a blessing. What a blessing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I like to think of what this church might have been called that the Holy Spirit was building. You all know that I am from the U.S., and I'm from a very small town, population 200. Is anyone else in this church from a place as small as mine? I'm a small town girl. you all think, oh, I'm from a small place. You're not from as small a place as I am. Small place called New Brockton. Churches everywhere. And I was thinking about what this first church was that the Holy Spirit was building. And in my town, I think this is the way it used to be. Every church that built first, whatever denomination, they would take the name first. So in my town, there is the First Baptist Church. And there is the First Methodist Church. And then there's the First Assembly of God Church. That's my church, the First Assembly of God Church. I wonder what that church was that the Holy Spirit was building. The First Church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Maybe that's what it was called. And maybe it would have been architectural design by God the Father and God the Son. And the foundation company would have been Jesus Christ Solid Rock, right? This is the church that the Holy Spirit was building. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And how is he building it? Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And we've kind of laughed about this as we're thinking about these first churches. But brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you in all seriousness this morning as I have been praying and preparing and thinking about us at Lighthouse and what the church of the Holy Spirit should look like and what the Holy Spirit's church is doing and what type of church he's building. The church that we see that the Holy Spirit builds is a church that's growing. It's a church that's reaching. It's a church that is not content just to be comfortable with everything solved. My problems are okay. My family is saved. I have enough food to eat. My bank account is healthy. But it is a church that has the heart of Jesus. And I want to be that more that way, and I pray you want to be more that way as well. This is the type of church that the Holy Spirit builds. I've told you before that I'm praying for my neighbors downstairs, right? Especially the old granny who probably doesn't have a lot longer, and I haven't seen her now for 2 or 3 weeks. I know that she's still around because they wash out her clothes, and I see her clothes in the morning. But every time I walk by, and it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. Every time I walk by, because she stays on the ground floor, Jesus, don't let her go to hell. Jesus, save her. Jesus, speak to her. Jesus, you know what language she needs. I can't knock on the door and say, may I see Paul Paul? I'd like to talk with her. I've tried to talk with him before, and that is not an open door at present. But it's an open door to Jesus, and it's an open door to the Holy Spirit. And the church that the Holy Spirit builds is a church that looks outward, that sees the need. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. You know, we look at this and we say, well, the Holy Spirit does it. He filled the church, and then he did this. Yes, that's true. But as the Holy Spirit works, there's also our response, isn't there? There's also our heart. The Lord is looking for people who will click with him, who will respond with him. And the church that the Holy Spirit built and builds is a church that is growing. Now, what else does this Holy Spirit church look like? They have no other churches to follow, no other user manuals, no blueprint. Jesus in the flesh has returned to heaven. How will they organize? What will they do? How should they interact? The Holy Spirit's going to do this. Amen? The Holy Spirit's going to do this. They've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He fills them. He energizes them. He directs them. So let's see what the Holy Spirit is building. They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. There's the beginning. So here's this devotion of heart. And everyone felt awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. We're going to talk about this more next week, but I want us to see something. The church that the Holy Spirit builds is a Spirit-filled church. The church that the Holy Spirit builds is a supernatural church. And I'm not talking about weird stuff. As we read this, do you see anything weird here? No joke. Do you see anything weird? Do you see anything that scares you? Do you see anything that says, ooh, not for me? No, no. The Holy Spirit is not weird. Sometimes people get a little bit wonky, you know, we do as we respond. But the Holy Spirit isn't weird. However it is, it's a supernatural church. It's a church where lives are changed. It's a church where there are healings. It's a church where things are going on. And if you've been reading some of the messages this morning in our prayer group from Julie, as she said, praise the Lord. She'd asked for prayer. She went back to the doctor. She had the possibility of having a tube in her back and in her kidneys for the rest of her life, having to be changed and an operation every 6 months. That was the possibility. The doctor went back in, but people were praying. The doctor went in and he looked and he said, there's no inflammation, there's no blockage, there's no stone, and there's no need for any tube. The Holy Spirit Church is a supernatural church. The Holy Spirit Church is a church where things happen that are beyond what we can do. Healings. Words that we need to hear, that when we hear it, we know that the Holy Spirit is at work. May I give you the most recent testimony I have of this? In the first service, we were all together and we had just a wonderful time of prayer, and somebody, let me tell it a different way. At the end of the service, I felt prompted. It wasn't in my notes. It wasn't in my preparation. Worship team didn't know. I felt prompted at the end to say, if somebody in the group has a word or a message from the Lord, please share it with us for our encouragement. And a few people shared. After the service, somebody came to me and said, do you know, while you were preaching, the Holy Spirit said something to my heart. And the Holy Spirit said, you have to say that. And I said, but I can't say it. I can't whatever. And he said, and I prayed. And I said, Holy Spirit, if you want me to say that, you're going to have to tell Pastor Jennifer, does somebody want to share something? And boom, at the end of the service. Not because I'm so clever. Not because I'm so smart, not because we've got this great plan, but it's the Holy Spirit who has a plan, and this is the type of church that the Holy Spirit is building. Amen? Brothers and sisters, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us, and as we come to Him and as we give ourselves to Him and as He fills us, you see, it's not just here, is it? It's not just knowledge, it's not just doctrine, but it is as we are filled, as our lives are filled and then overflowing with the Holy Spirit, He does His work in His church. Let's read the rest of it. Everyone felt awe. Wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. All the believers were together, had everything in common, and they began selling their possessions and property and were sharing with them all as anyone had a need. You see that the work that the Holy Spirit does in His church, He gives us hearts like Jesus, right? And then when I have a heart like Jesus and I see that you have a need, I no longer think, well, that's your need and this is my money. I don't think that way anymore. The Holy Spirit gives me a generous heart. And I say, well, I can meet that need. And I do it not grudgingly, but gladly. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex. And they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food together with gladness and simplicity of heart. Here's this beautiful picture. As we look at this, do you know what we see as we look at this? What we see is they were meeting together for meals. You know why I said next week we're going to talk about online church? Praise the Lord when we don't have another option. Praise the Lord. I mean that. Praise the Lord. But brothers and sisters, this is the church that the Holy Spirit builds, where we share lives, where we share burdens, where we share all that we need to share, where we have meals together, where I open my heart to you and you open your heart to me. Here's this beautiful picture. They broke bread from house to house. Do you think that you can only have communion in church? No. in your groups, with your friends, with your family. This is the church that the Holy Spirit builds. And we see this beautiful picture of sharing their lives together. So we're gonna stop here this morning because we're going to turn to communion now. And this may seem like a bit of an unusual place to stop, but we want to give some time just to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning. And I want you to see this picture with the early church. You see, they broke bread together, and that means the Lord's Supper, but it also means they ate together. And they broke bread together up close and personal. You see, if I break bread with you, Kenneth, up close, I can't have a grudge against you. I can't sit there and share the Lord's meal with you and have something in my heart against you. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And so we're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning. This is part of the church. I'm going to ask the worship team to come right now. And we're just going to close out the service together. We're going to share the Lord's Supper together. And you should have something that looks like this. Oh, the early church, that first church didn't have anything like this, did they? They had a big piece of bread, and they had a big cup, and they shared it together. But I invite you right now, so some of the group is coming in, and if the youth want to join us with communion this morning, we're going to do that. And we'll go ahead and let the worship team begin. And as we come to the table of the Lord this morning, in the first service, we had just a wonderful time together. So come on in. We're going to pause just a minute as the youth come in to join us. And we're glad to have them join us if they're going to share communion with us. Would you indulge me, give me about a minute to kind of catch the youth up to speed as well. Youth, as you come in really quietly, whether you sit or whether you stand, you're invited to the table of the Lord also as we come this morning. And we come with our hearts that are right, and we come remembering Jesus. You know, sometimes we come to the table of the Lord and we come with a very, very solemn, very heavy hearts, and it's like I'm sad. And that is part of it sometimes. But brothers and sisters, sometimes there's great rejoicing. As we were led in worship this morning, oh, happy day. I think that's a perfect song to sing with communion, because we remember what Jesus did for us, and he changed our lives forever, didn't he? Amen. Where would you be right now if Jesus had not changed your life? Some of you would not be here. You'd be dead right now. You'd be in hell. Some of you would have broken, totally broken lives, but you didn't. He saved you. Oh, happy day. And I just encourage you to think of that church that the Holy Spirit was building as they would break bread together and share together. If you're seated with a family this morning or friends this morning, you can even just get closer to them if you want to as well, because it was often done with families, with husbands and wives, with groups as they met. We're going to come to the table of the Lord this morning, and we're going to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. You know, in the early church, when they did this, it was only the death and the resurrection of Jesus was only about a month and a half earlier, right? A month plus earlier. It must have been so fresh and so vivid in their minds. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he makes the sacrifice of Jesus real and fresh to us again instead of routine. But we're reminded again, Jesus, you did this. And the Holy Spirit can bring to us, the work of Jesus again into our lives. Sister Bridget shared that the night that she got saved, she had a vision of Jesus on the cross. That's what the Holy Spirit did. She gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first helper that Sister Betty hired in our home, Cheryl, when she went back to the Philippines, she was the only one that was saved in the whole family. And she shared with her husband, Edner, about Jesus that night as she first got back. And she found out that he was in such despair that he had wanted to end his life. She didn't even know it, but God sent her back at just the right time. And because his health was poor, his health was bad. And they prayed, and in faith, She wasn't a pastor, and Jesus healed him. And after healing him, she prayed, and they prayed again. And Edna also had a vision, a picture of Jesus on the cross, bringing salvation. Jesus brings salvation. And so this morning, as we come to the table of the Lord, think of the freshness of that memory in that church that the Holy Spirit was building. And may again we have the fresh remembrance of Jesus in our lives. I invite you to open your heart this morning to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart and in your life this morning. And so this is going to be a little bit different this morning. Go ahead and peel the top back. For some of you, this may be new. You'll peel the top back, and here's the bread. And then in just a minute, we're going to peel this part back. That's the juice underneath it. Just kind of peel it carefully like that. And just like the early church, the first church that the Holy Spirit built, they met together with glad hearts, and they met together and they broke bread together. I invite you with a glad heart this morning, with a glad heart, to break bread together. Let's remember Jesus. Shall we eat the bread together this morning? Jesus, our hearts are glad. You changed our lives forever, and you're still changing our lives. We're grateful, and we remember you. Shall we drink together this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Going to pray for us, and then the online portion we're going to end this morning, but we're going to continue here in the second service. Those of you online, after I pray, we'll meet you. We hope to see you in person next week, but for those of us who are gathered here, going to pray for it, and online, I'm going to pray for us, and then the worship team is going to lead us in responding to the Lord, and I'm going to invite you to sit, to stand, to kneel, to respond to the Lord and open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit who is building His church. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have a plan for our lives, that you have a plan for this church, that you desire to fill us fully to overflowing. Yes, you desire to work through us. You desire to work in us. You desire to bubble over with great joy, with great power, with great equipping, with all of these things in our lives and in our church. We thank you for showing Jesus to us. And with great joy, Jesus, we remember your work in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.